seed, thought, and idea was just a sacred pause. So, how often, as we go through life, do we hear, "How are you doing?" To put it in a story like this, "How are you doing?" my friend asked me. "Busy," was my short one-word reply, as though it was a badge of honor. It didn't even answer the question. How often have we uttered those words in reply to, "How are you?" How often have we asked, "How are you?" without really wanting to hear a deep, personal, real answer? We're constantly rushing here and there, to and fro, wishing there was more time in the day so we could do more. More for ourselves, our family, our church, or God. Wait, isn't that the same thing? No, not necessarily. Look at the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, 38 through 42. We're all familiar with this story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You see, Martha was very busy, preparing for Jesus. Everything had to be just right, or so she thought. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, a couple things stood out there as I was reading through. Martha was distracted in verse 40. And then in verse 42, the Lord's response. Verse 41 and 42, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." What does the Bible say about busyness? Well, if we look at what it says about solitude, solitary, and rest, we'll have a pretty good idea. In Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Bible, in Psalms and Hosea, we see a word, Selah. The only two books in the Bible the word shows up. The New American Standard Hebrew Lexicon defines the Hebrew word as to lift up or exalt. Some scholars believe Selah was a musical notation, possibly meaning silence or pause. Others, end or a louder strain or piano, etc. You could also follow the model laid out by translators of the Septuagint, I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure, who translated it as an intermission. Use Selah to take a pause to think about what the scripture says. Reflect on the meaning of the verse before, continuing to read the rest of the passage. Selah. All right, so let's look at the word solitude. It only occurs three times in the Bible, and we're only going to look at one for time's sake, and that's Matthew 14, 23. After he, Jesus, had sent them away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. All right. It's in the Bible, so it's there for an example. Where did he go? up the mountain. Honey, I'm going mountain climbing. Jesus did it, so am I. I might have to use that one. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. I think back to my message about being sheep, how sheep are dumb. And I think even though this verse doesn't say anything about sheep, the implication is kind of there. He went up the mountain by himself to pray. In the evening, he was alone. He's repeating something there, isn't he? By himself, why? To pray. Evening came, he was alone. We need to seek out times of alone, times where we can recharge. I asked my daughter what's something she does to recharge, to refill her social battery. And she said, I do art, whether it's painting or drawing, and anything to do with horses. And I'm like, all right, good. So we've got an example here. Go up a mountain by yourself. Seek time alone with God. Maybe your recharge is drawing. Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's riding horses up a mountain to be alone. Let's look at the word solitary. Solitary comes up a few more times than solitude. In fact, 20 times in the Bible. In Matthew 14:13, and Jesus, having heard, withdrew thence in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And the multitudes, having heard it, did follow him on land from the cities. So we have another example of Jesus, in this case, trying to be alone. He got in a boat to escape the crowds. He went across a body of water, and he got to the other side in what was a desolate place. He set as a destination a desolate place, a solitary place. Nobody's there. That's where I'm going. I need to recharge. But this time the crowd sought him out. Matthew 17:1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and the brothers James and John and brought them up a high mountain to a solitary place. In this example, he is still headed to a solitary place. This time it specifies he was headed up a high mountain, maybe a Mount Marcy or a Mount Denali or maybe Everest. Not likely because they're not in that region, but something of that magnitude. He was headed up a high mountain. And this time he left most of his disciples, but he brought his inner circle, those who were closest to him. He brought them along. In Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This verse is fairly key because we see a few different things. We have a time he went in the morning, having risen a long while before his alarm clock. The rooster hadn't crowed and it wasn't even thinking about crowing yet. And he went out and departed to a solitary place and he prayed. Remember, we read in Ecclesiastes 9 that the words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. It's better to be alone before God, hearing wise words spoken softly to your heart, than it is a shouting ruler among fools. All right, Mark 1:35, done. Luke 4:42, the next morning at daybreak, he left the town and went away to a solitary place. But the people flocked out to find him. And coming to the place where he was, they endeavored to detain him, that he might not leave them. Jesus packed a lot into 3 years of ministry. He had a very, very busy schedule. And because of that, he often sought solitude. There's kind of that resounding theme in the Gospels. He left. He went up a mountain. He went up a high mountain at daybreak, in the evening, well before day. Solitary places. Let's look at the word rest. Genesis 2:2-3. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work he had done in creation. Wouldn't it be nice? I think probably most ladies, definitely all moms, would probably agree with this statement. But wouldn't it be nice if you could just, like, at the end of the day, walk over to a wall, grab a charger, maybe right off your hip or something, just grab a charger and just plug it into the wall and recharge for 20 minutes and be good to go again? But alas, that's not how God created us. He didn't create us to plug into a wall and just recharge. But he's giving us examples of how we can recharge our social battery, our spiritual battery. We have a power source that we can plug into. But just like if I never plug my phone in or set it on one of those wireless chargers, it's not going to recharge. In the same way, if we're not seeking out time alone with God, we're not going to recharge. We're going to be running ragged. People are going to ask us, how are we doing? And we're going to be like, we're busy. Yeah. Busy doing what? I don't know, but I'm busy. Are you accomplishing it? I don't know, but I'm busy. In Exodus 23:12, we're told, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. God worked 6 days and then he rested. And then in Exodus he says, you should work 6 days and then you should rest, that you may be refreshed, that your ox, your donkey, your son of your servant woman, and even the foreigner in the land may be refreshed. Maybe that doesn't describe you, though. Rest or refreshed. Maybe that doesn't describe how you're feeling. But don't worry. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I did a dive into that verse once upon a time, a while ago. And that idea of taking a yoke. How many of you guys like to eat at Cracker Barrel? Okay, whew. If you've never been to Cracker Barrel, or you've gone but you don't like to go, you will notice that on their walls, every single one of them, guarantee you, it does not matter how ghetto of a location it's in, how country of a location it's in, how big of a city or small of a town. You go into Cracker Barrel, and what are you going to see on the walls? Antiques. You might see a yoke. So if you've seen a yoke, it's a large wooden brace that has two arches in it. So it's meant to be used by two ox or two cows or two horses or two donkeys or two mules, saddled side by side together, yoked together, walking side by side. But the key to it, when you've got a young ox or a young animal that's learning to be harnessed in the yoke and not to buck against it and try to fight it, you put it with an older animal that's well-trained. And that older animal, bigger, stronger, wiser, is going to pull most, if not all, of the weight. And all the young one has to do is just walk alongside. Now, if you pictured a young calf, maybe 2 years old, walking beside a giant ox, there'd be an impressive size difference. But imagine this for a moment with me, if you will. Little old me on one side, going, okay, God, doesn't make sense, but okay, I'll step under this yoke. And then you've got God, just giant, strong, powerful. When he pulls and he leans into that yoke, do you think I'm going to be left pulling much weight? That's what we're shown here. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you find yourself weighed down by the burden of the world and the cares of the world, you have already identified the problem. You are trying to carry the burden yourself. Yoke up with Christ. Let him pull while you just walk. Mark 6:31. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. All right. I asked Bob to just keep pulling this picture up in between any of the Bible verses, and I'm kind of rattling the Bible verses off machine gun style. This was taken up in Maine in Acadia, and I forget the name of the lake. I could Google it, find it easy, but I just love this picture. This, to me, is a solitary place. This is rest. This is relaxation. You've got the ripples of the water. You've got a mountain rising up. You've got twin mountains in the back, another one on the right, just everywhere you look. You know what I don't see when I look there? Anything made by man. Perfection. That's what I see. I see nothing made by man. I see a solitary place where I could sit beside those waters reading my Bible, just soaking in his presence, listening in a quiet place where you can hear what's going on, where you're not surrounded by shouting, prating fools who think they're rulers and have something important to say, but instead you're sitting at the feet of Christ, listening. You're not busy rushing around doing all these good things. You're sitting at his feet saying, yes, Lord, here I am. What do you have for me today? Psalm 37:7. Why is it 8:02? No, somebody turn the clock back. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I'm going to give you note takers some verses. Jeremiah 6:16. There's a good way. Walk in it. Find rest for your souls. Hebrews 4:9-11. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us strive to enter that rest. Psalm 46:10, one of my favorites. Be still and know that I am God. The great thing about that verse, be still. I'm working for Jesus. Look at me. Be still. It doesn't mean to just not be in motion, but to stand firm and listen. Stand firm on God's promises. Stand firm on your faith. Stand for what is right and know that I am God. Isaiah 30:15. I'm just going to give you some, write them down, go read them later. Psalm 34:8. Okay, we're actually going to read that one because it's so good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. For anybody who's eaten at the Lord's banqueting table, who's tasted what it means to live a life chasing after Christ, it's easy to see he is good. You don't have to worry. You don't have to read the reviews on Yelp and see if he got a 5-star review or not. He is good. Jeremiah 31:25, I will satisfy the weary soul. Every languishing soul I will replenish. Proverbs 3:24. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then the last one, Luke 2:49. He said to them, his parents, why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? If I'm going to be busy, let it be my Father's business. In the way that he laid out for us in Scripture, follow the pattern that he has laid out for us. All right. For any math geeks out here, this one's for you. How much time do we have in our day? Remember, back in the beginning, don't we all wish we had a little more time in our day? Well, how much time do we have? We have 86,400 seconds every day. Every single one of us has 86,400 seconds in our day. What will you do with it? Will you seek your own pleasure, your own joy, your own plans, your own busyness, or his? How much do we have in our life? I really wish Paul Sigels was here for this one. The 2021 average life expectancy for a U.S. male is 73 years. So, 86,400 seconds times 73 years. In 10 years, you have 315,360,000 seconds. In 73, you have 2.3e plus 9. That's why I wish Paul was here. I don't know what that means. That means it's a big number. That means if you put it in on your calculator, it's going to tell you error, cannot compute. How about females? 79 years. Or 2.49e plus 9 seconds. We have time. What do we do with it? How do we schedule it? We need to schedule sacred pauses into our calendars. You know, on your phone, everybody has a calendar on their phone. And when you put an event in there, at least on the Google calendar, there's an option to mark you as unavailable during that time slot. And what that means is when you go to put another event in and it overlaps that time slot, it's going to remind you, you're not available. I challenge you to use that function to schedule quiet times. Block out times in your day that are empty of anything that needs to be done. Block out times of study, times of prayer, times of reflection, of meditation, just listening quietly to our Father in heaven. Don't use those times to speak. Don't use those times to just pray and say, God, me, 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 me. But rather, I challenge you to sit there with your hands open saying, God, here I am. Speak to me. What would you have me do next? Schedule times of drawing away into the wilderness to draw near to him, to rejuvenate, to center ourselves in his will for our life. Whatever that thing is that you enjoy doing that just gives you a deep-seated peace and a recharge, schedule time to do that and make it a non-negotiable. That time's not available. I have an appointment at that time. I can't do that thing or this thing. Gee, I wish I really could help, but I'm busy then. Busy doing what? Nothing? Well, that doesn't sound very busy. Oh, you'd have no idea. Schedule time to be in his presence. Make it a priority in your life. Father God, as we're running out of time this evening, just pray that you would speak to us, that you would turn us into spiritual flamethrowers, not spiritual dimwits. Lord, that you would rejuvenate us. Help us to humble ourselves to walk in your yoke, to listen, to hear, to receive, and to do the will of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.